Ujjal Nilamani, Chapter 3, Krishna Vallabha, Krishna's Beloved, this is text 37. We heard about his Parakya lovers that were the gopis of Vrindavan, and there's Kanyaka and Paroda. Parakya lovers of Krishna and Vrindavan may be divided into two groups of heroines or nayak. Gopi lovers, romantic partners. They're the unmarried girls and the paroda. Paroda means they belong to others. So there's some particular characteristics. Not only are they the wives of coward men, but they're the very young married wives. And consequently, they don't have any children yet. So the paroda, parakiya nayakas of Vrindavan, they're married to the coward gopas, but they don't have any children. But they constantly yearn to enjoy with Krishna. Gopair vyuda apihare sada sambhogalalasa. This word again is hari. So common everywhere. When Rupa Goswami chooses, it's probably one of the most, besides Krishna, or maybe it even surpasses the word Krishna. The word Hari is everywhere used. Of course, not only in Goswami Granth, but also in the ancient Puranas, they often talk about Sri Hari, the same word Hari, but there they're talking about Vishnu, one of the forms of Vishnu, Sri Hari. But this Hari in our Goswami Granth, in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Shastras, is very common. Chaitanya Charitamrita and Rupa Goswami's works. Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Mahaprabhu, as we've often said, is very fond of that word Hari, and the devotees picked up on that. So whenever they were with him, they would often chant, Hari, Hari, Hari. Even one day they said, oh, you are that Hari, you are the Supreme Lord. And Shivas Thakur was saying, everyone's gathered outside the Gambir, they say, we want darshan of Hari, Hari darshan, Bhagavan Hari darshan chahiye. And so Shivas Pandit, he told Mahaprabhu, he said, everyone's waiting outside, they're chanting, Hari, Hari, come, please. And then Mahaprabhu said, I'm not Hari, I'm the Das, I'm Hari Das. And like Radharani is Hari Dasi. So because that says Radhabha, but because he's masculine, speaking as a Mahaprabhu, Krishna, then he says Hari Das. I'm Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rasaraj. Mahaprabhu. So he says, all right, anyway, come outside. So he says, Lord Chaitanya says, stop, don't think of me, don't see me or think of me like as a Supreme Personality of Godhead, as a Supreme Controller. I'm just Mahaprabhu, I'm your friend, I'm your associate, and you're my friends. And then Shiva said, so, you're proposing, Mahaprabhu, that we can hold our hands up in the sky and cover the sun? If I take my two hands, oh, the sun is shining. If I put it up like that in front of the sun, then the whole world will become dark, because I've cancelled out the rays of the sun. He said, you can't cover yourself. We can't cover the sun with our two hands. And how can your few words of discouragement and trying to discourage us from seeing you as God or Krishna, they're not working. We see right through your words. Your radiance, your effulgence, your prabhav, your identity is too obvious to everyone. As the sunshine is so prevalent and obvious, pervading everywhere in the sky, and cannot be blocked out by the two hands of a human being. So you can't block out or prevent us from realizing and seeing that you are Sri Hari, Sri Hari, Sri Hari. So this Hari Sada Sambhogalalasa, the gopis, the gopi vyuda, the married gopis, they're always hankering and yearning. Lalasa means deeply hankering to sambhog vilas, sambhog lalasa. Always they want to be with Krishna, to enjoy intimately with him and give him great bhog. They want to give him complete bhog, complete satisfaction and delight with their seva. And they know that only they can give that supreme happiness to Krishna. Sada sambhog lalasa. Prada valavas tasya brajanaryo prasut.
The coward men who are married
but they always desire enjoyment with Krishna are called Parodha. They don't have any children. No, thank you. Prasutika. Sutta means child, and Pra means they don't have any. They're out. This translation here. They're constantly yearning to enjoy amorous pastimes with Krishna. Now there's the verse 38. That's Rupa Goswami's statement. And then he quotes from his own book, Padyavali, as a Praman. In this particular verse, text 38, Padma is speaking to Chandravali. There, the Virud party, the opposite rival, Vipaksha Sakis. And this is Chandravali's Lalita is called Padma. So she's the closest confidant and advisor. So Padma is speaking to Chandravali. She says, "Oh Chandravali, why are you so eager to go into the deep dark forest to pick flowers for goddess Katyayani? Oh beautiful necked girl, Kantara Kukshi Kuharam Kutukad Gadasi." It's a real one of those kind of verses. Katyayani Kusuma Kamanaya Kimartam Kantara Kukshi Kuharam Kutukad Gatasi Sadhyastana Stana Sadhyastana Stana Juge Tabakanta Kankam Gopa Sukanti Patapashanti Jatta Gopa. Why are you so eagerly going into the deep dark forest? Don't your angry husband sees the scratches on your young breast caused by the thorns? Another translation, Padma said, "O Chandra, Sakhi, impelled by curiosity and wishing to collect flowers to offer goddess Katyayani Devi, you went deep into the belly of this thick forest. Why have you done this? Oh, my Sakhi, your breasts are now bearing the scratch marks of the thorns in the forest, and your sister-in-law is now staring at these marks, fearing that perhaps that these marks are scratches made by Krishna." Jiva Goswami says this is a joking statement to Padma, and that Sakhi makes some conjectures which are actually untruthful. Signs of injury. So text 39. These Parodha women excel all others in beauty. They're more beautiful than the Swakya lovers in Dwarka or any of the Kanyaka Parikya lovers in Braj, the unmarried lovers of Krishna. They aren't married that are still in love with him, like the Brajakanyas that worship Katyayani and had Gandharva marriage. So these Parodha that are married, like Radharani, Lalita, Vishakha, they have gunya, sad-gunya, vaibhav. They're manifesting the most incredible sad, eternal, or special qualities, shobha sad-gunya vaibhave, that they're shining and radiant with these especially good qualities. And what are they? Rama, then Yuru, Madhurya, Bahara, Bhushita. They far surpass any other gopis or any other women in beauty, good qualities, and power. They are endowed with much greater prema and sweetness than Lakshmi Devi and all other lovers of God. We're also in Madhurya Rati, but they're in the Swakya Bhav, they're married to Narayan or Vishnu. Says, Uru Prima Madhurya Bhara Bhushita. Bhushita means ornamented, decorated, adorned with Madhurya Bhara. Bhara means heavily laden, thick, lots of voluminous and heavy and weighty. So their Prima Madhurya is Bhara. Prima Madhurya Bhara Bhushita. Their Prima is so heavy and so vast that Krishna can never repay It's so valuable and so invaluable and inconceivable that Krishna says, as we heard the other day, Napariham Najushyam, I can never repay you because your love is so great. And this is, gives an idea that they have so much greater prem and sweetness than any other lover of Bhagavan, such as Lakshmi Devi. Prema Madhurya Bhara is also explanation of this in Thakur Bhaktivinoda, and we can read that too to maybe get a different angle of understanding. What are the student, the Shishya asked the Babaji, the Guru, what are the glories of being a gopi married to a gopa other than Krishna, Guru? The Braja gopis who are married to others, they automatically they become minds of superabundant beauty, extraordinarily powerful transcendental virtues. When the intense hankering to meet intimately with Krishna rises in their heart, they also become decorated with the exquisite loveliness of prem. The sweetness of the rasa of the Parodha Parakya lovers of Krishna and Braj exceeds that of all the other Shaktis and lovers of Bhagavan, headed by Goddess of Fortune, Lakshmi. So that's exactly, although it's not indicating, that's exactly another translation in chapter 32 of Jiva Dharma of this verse 39, chapter 3. Third translation, these Parodha Parakya gopis, they are endowed with the intense sweetness of their great love for Krishna. Their beauty, opulence, and transcendental, so it says, Rama, Adi, Uru, Prema, Sadguna, Vaibhav. Their beauty, opulence, and transcendental virtues far surpass even Lakshmi Devi and all her followers. So the next verse is a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 47. Verse 60. So here, this verse is, I believe it's spoken by Uddhava in the Brahma Gita, chapter 47. And he's glorifying the gopis and comparing their position and relationship with Krishna to the Lakshmis, which is the same point that's being discussed here. Nayam Shriyanga Nitanta Rate Prasadha Swaryoshi Tamnalina Ganda Vrucham Kutanya Rasotsave sabuja danda krihita kanta labdashisham yat uraghad brajavalabhinam. Uddhava Mahashaya said, when Sri Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the Rasleela, the gopis were embraced by the arms of Krishna. Such a favor, such a privilege was never given to Lakshmi Devi or any other consorts in the spiritual world, such as Dwarka or Mathura. Even never was such a favor imagined by the most beautiful girls in the heavenly planets, whose bodily luster and aroma resemble a lotus flower. What to speak of worldly women are very beautiful by material estimation. So he's comparing, Uddhava Mahashaya is comparing and contrasting different types of women that are available for Krishna's pleasure in the universe, or just women that are present in different planes of existence, from the earthly plane of where we live on the earth. And we go up to the heavenly planets, what kind of women are available there. Then we go to the Vaikuntha and Goloka Vrindavan, to Dwarka and Mathura, and what kind of romantic or beautiful women are there. So Uddhava gives some indication that they're really amazingly beautiful and amazingly cultured and qualified. And he describes the heavenly ladies, the celestial damsels, the celestial ladies of heavenly planets, their bodies, naturally the aroma of their bodies smells like lotus flowers. And they're very beautiful. That goes without saying. They're so beautiful. And they have such a radiance, Lavanya. And then there's, in this, even this material world, there's so many beautiful and dashing, cultured, amazing women. But Krishna says, no, thank you. I don't want any of those highly qualified or beautiful, talented women. I want these simple gopis of Vrindavan. these cowherd girls who carry water pots on their head, and they make churn yogurt and butter with their bare hands, and they make butter, and they take care of the cows and cows. But they're simple. They don't know that the Sanskrit Devanagari language of the Devata women and heavenly planets, and they don't know all the elaborate, they don't have all the elaborate styles and culture that the city women of Mathura or Dwarka have. They speak in simple language straight from the heart. They don't know how to speak with diplomacy or politics or highbrow culture. If they want to give me the sauce and rebuke me, they just take me to the task. But this is unheard of by any other woman. They would never trespass and beyond the borders of respect and proper behavior with the wives or lovers of Narayan and Krishna and Dwarka. They follow protocol and maryada. But the gopis, they don't know about what is it. They don't even know what that word means, protocol of maryada. They just love Krishna because he's a beautiful boy of their village. And it's not their fault, because every single girl in the village fell in love with one boy. So why are you blaming me? It's not my fault. It's his fault. He's so dashing, so witty, so carefree, so funny. And we see that although thousands of us are madly in love with Shyam, each one of us can control him. Although he's so amazing, our love is so captivating and enchanting to this Krishna that we control him by our love. So this is Vrindavan. So it takes 40, that's the Buddha's saying. So this is the Kanyakas, or the Kanyas, who were unmarried and had a Madhurya Parakya relationship with Krishna. And they were so young, they were just crawling in the Brajaduli, the Kanyakas. That's really young. And the fathers were not even thinking about finding a husband. What's the need? They're not even wearing any shirt. They're just nagna. They're so small. At any rate, they're with Krishna. Now in text 41, he says there's three types of women, gopis, transcendental gopis, in the category of Paroda. There's three groups of these gopis that are married and have no children and are madly in love with Krishna, Madhurya Ras, Madhurya Rati, in Parakya Bhav. So who are they? They're, of course, the gopis, the Nitya gopis, and the Parama Prashya gopis, the Astasakis, and Lalita Vishaka, Chitra Champa, Rangadevi Sudevi, Tungavidya, and Induleka. And Radharani, they're the Nitya Priya, they're eternally dear, the Krishna's eternal dear ones, his dearest sweethearts. But then there's the sadhakas, like us, that do sadhana bhajan in Ragamarga, Kamanuga Bhakti, Kamanuga Raghunuga Bhakti, following the gopis of Vrindavan, like Tulsi Mandri and Rupa Mandri, and we're aspiring to have that gopi bhav, that Parakya bhav, Madhurya Rati, and we're aspiring to have the eternal service of Radharani and Krishna. So they're called the sadhana para. They became lovers of Krishna by doing sadhana. And then the devis in heaven, heavenly damsels, three types. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he also mentions these, as I said, these last chapter 32 and last few chapters of Jiva Dharma are explaining or outlining the Ujjvalanilamani in simple Bengali language, which has been translated into English. Because Ujjvalanilamani, as we're hearing, is highly technical Sanskrit, and very difficult for the common person or anybody to understand. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he translated it all into Bengali, and now English. So on this particular verse, he's saying, said there's three kinds, how many kinds of Braja Sundaris, beautiful damsels, are there? And he says, then he tells the three, Sadhana Para Devi, etc., Nitya. So then he says, the next verse 42 says, of these Sadhana Para, that means sadhakas like us that practice sadhana, and then they attain siddhi or perfection. And they're ayotiki and ayotiki. Yuta, like we say Lalita's gun or Vishaka gun or Vishaka yuta. Yuta. That means group. So some yotiki and ayotiki. So some sadhakas, a whole group of friends or a whole group of sadhus together, they're practicing Gopi Bhav, Gopi Manjri Bhav, Upasana. Whole group of them. They all have the same objective. They all have the same Ishtadev. They all have the same, chant the same mantras, Gopal mantra. They all have the same Abhishta and desire to become the servants of Radharani and Gopi Bhav and Vrindavan. So they're called the Yotika. Yotika. And the example, of course, is that whole group of sages that saw Ramachandra in Dandakaranya's forest, and they immediately saw, oh, there's such beautiful love between Sita and Ramachandra. We would like to experience that bhava of Sita, have that relationship with Ramachandra as his wife. So they did, their whole group, hundreds of them, or whatever, they all did the sadhana and got that perfection. Then ayotiki means no group, it just means individuals, one-on-one sadhakas that also attain perfection. So speaking on these same points, he says there's two types of sadhana siddhas, gopis we could say, but the term Rupa uses is sadhana para sundari. So the yotiki means the sundaris, they've taken birth together in a group after being absorbed in sadhana for Brajaras. So they're members of a particular group, like the personified, the Shrutis, the Upanishads, or the Munis. They're all human beings, they're all men, sages, and rishis of Shrutis. And they did bhajan. So which Munis have taken birth in Braj as gopis? And he says, Bhaktivinoda, some Munis offered worship to Gopal, but they did not attain perfection, siddhi. They did not attain sadhana siddhi. After having darshan Ramachandra's beauty, they further endeavored in their sadhana to fulfill their cherished desire. Thus they eventually accepted Gopi Bhav and took birth as gopis. Padma Puran refers to them in this way, and Brihat Vamana Puran states that some of these Municharis or Rishicharis, they attained perfection at the beginning of the Rasa-lila. So that's the Munis. Now the Upanishads, the Shrutis, how did they take birth as gopis in Braj? The Maha Upanishads personified were gifted with extremely fine discrimination. They became thoroughly astonished when they heard about and saw the gopis' good fortune of being Krishna's consorts. So they started performing severe austerities on the path of Raghunatha Bhakti with great faith and with the desire to attain Gopi Bhav and Gopi Sarup and a loving relationship with Krishna. So after performing, they did attain sadhana siddhi, and they were born in Boma Vrindavan as the daughters of gopis, and like that. So now we'll go back to the original Nilamani, and he says here in verse 45, the yotikas, that means coming in a group, born in a group, practicing in a group, are practicing by mixing with others of the group, the sages and Upanishads. It's basically a repeat. Then text 44 through 46. Now this is Rupa Goswami's verse, chapter 3, about the sages, how they became gopis. They were worshippers of Krishna. It actually says Gopal. It says Gopal Upasakas. So this translation is much more accurate than what we read. And they had their desires to attain Krishna as his lovers. They were fulfilled after a long time. Chirad Udbuddha, because they saw Ramachandra in Treta Yuga, and they were born as gopis in the beginning of Kali Yuga, at the end of Dwapara Yuga, and Krishna's Leela. So from Treta Yuga and then Dwapara Yuga, Dwapara Yuga is 800,000 years, and Treta Yuga is 1.6 million. So how many, when they saw Ramachandra in the beginning of his Leela or end, I can't remember, but they waited something like 1.8 million years. They did tapasya and Gopi Bhav. They followed the path of Gopi Bhav for 1,800,000 years. That's why he said after a long time, they had their desires fulfilled to become gopis in Vrindavan and serve Radha and Krishna, especially Krishna in Madhurya Rati and Bhargiya Bhav. So it's not so easy to become a gopi in Vrindavan. It's the words there, chirad. So what is the hope for us? You may feel hopeless after hearing this. The good news is we're not rishis. We're not munis of Dandakaranya. And we're not the personified shrutis of Vaikuntha chanting prayers to Vishnu to wake him up, Purusha Shruti. And they heard about the gopi's fortune and read about it, and they said, hey, we want to upgrade our bhav here. So somehow, by the arrangement of the Lord, they expanded into another form or whatever they did to tapasya. Says chirad. So our only hope to make us come alive again after hearing that devastating statement about how long it will take to become a gopi in Braj, we take solace and comfort and shelter in the Adi Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 1, verse 4. Anarpita charitam chirat karanaya vatirna kalo unat ujula rasam subhakti shriyam. That our solace is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. So the same word is there in 114. Chiracharam. Chiracharam means a long time, after a very, very long time, after a day of Brahma. So much longer than the sages were doing tapasya for 1.8 million years, which seems like eternal time for us. But Krishna came, before Krishna and Lord Chaitanya came in this age of Kali, Lord Chaitanya came here before 360 million years ago. Something like that, or maybe trillion. Fantastic number, one day of Brahma, which is very long. So then, so he hasn't come here in a long time, chirat, chirat, but if you just anarpita chanantra, if you come, he's come to give this method of worship to everyone, just take it. Just chant Hare Krishna, qualified or unqualified. You like it, you want it, you want to attain this Gopi Bhav, then you can have it. Mahaprabhu gives it to everyone that wants it. So this is our advantage. We won't have to wait 1.8 million years to get our Gopi Deha, maybe one or two lifetimes. Because we also see the example. This is the Upanishads and Puranas, Bhagavat Purana, many others are telling us about the plight of the Munis as sadhakas. But we also hear the story in our Bhagavat Purana and other Puranas also, Vishnu Purana, elsewhere, Hari Bhakti Sirodaya, Bhai Vaisham Payana Vyas, and many books. It tells about Narada Muni. Narada Muni received his Siddhadeya directly from Krishna, was given to him. After two births, he attained the Siddhadeya. He was a deva, and then he was cursed, and he came to earth as the son of a sudra, and then he was serving sages. He got some mantra, diksha, or some kind of mantra he heard from them, and their blessing, he did bhajan, and at a young age, he had darshan of Vishnu. And then later, when he left his body, First Canto, Chapter 6, Verse 28, then Vishnu came and brought from the spiritual world Prayujamane, a Vaikuntha Rupa, a spiritual body, and gave to Narada Muni. It's only two births. So we can follow the Munichari's way and wait 1.8 million births, or we can follow the Narada Muni way, because the Municharis and Shrutis and Munis, their example is also told in the Bhagavatam, in the commentaries, and also in the description of Rasleela, and much later in the 10th canto Rasleela, but much later in the 10th canto, chapter 87. It's all about the Shrutis. It's called Shruti Stuti. So the Shrutis themselves are speaking the prayers to Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 87. And there they tell their own biography, that we saw Ram and we had felt this Gopal Prem, and we did austerities for millions of years, so we finally were born in Bhoma Vrindavan, Prakat Leela, as gopis. So their whole revelation of their story is there in the 10th canto. But our acharyas and our gurus, they don't favor that story of these rishis, because that was from a distant age. But this Narada Muni story, I'm not sure what age that is either, but the Narada Muni story is much more encouraging. It's only two lifetimes. One lifetime as a deva, then one lifetime as a sudra. He did his bhajan. He had darshan of Vishnu one time. And then at the time of death, and Krishna bought the spiritual body. So this is our hope. It's the story of Narada Muni is very encouraging for all sadhakas. Whether your guru gives you siddhadeya, if your guru gives you siddhadeya and you meditate intensely on that and do seva there in this one, whole life, then next life there's a chance, very good chance, that you may attain that siddhadeya. And if the guru has not given the siddhadeya directly to you beforehand, there's also a good chance you may get your siddhadeya in the next life by the arrangement of Krishna if you do very good sadhana. Because we see in the story at 1st Canto Bhagavatam, chapter 6, Narada Muni did very good sadhana, but he was not following Raghunoga Marg. He was following Vaidhi sadhana, which most of the people do today. Most people follow Vaidhi sadhana, not Raghunoga sadhana. It's rather rare for those people, Rasikas and Bhavakas. And they're especially favored. Anyone who picks up, is inclined and attracted to Raghunoga Bhakti, means that they've gotten extra special favor from Krishna. It is favor from Krishna to begin with. Our lives and devotion and our lives as bhaktas, that begins with the favor of Krishna. And if Krishna sees, I've given you this favor, I've given you this mercy and opportunity to serve me with devotion, but I see you're not all that serious about it, and you're not all that mad about me, and so I'm not going to give you the extra mercy to take up Ragmarg. Because if I give you the mercy to attain Ragmarg, then that means I'm opening up my heart in Vrindavan to you. I'm going to bring you into my heart in Vrindavan with the gopis. But if I simply open my heart and give you bhakti, then that you can worship me in Vaikuntha, or maybe at best the Aishwarya Goloka Vrindavan, or Dwarka part of Goloka, spiritual world. So this is the favor. So therefore Narada Muni, he practiced Vaidhi sadhana, and he came so advanced in Vaidhi sadhana, he attained the level of Bhava Bhakti. And then when he was on the, and that's there in the verses, he's crying, he's ecstatic symptoms, deeply meditating, absorbing, totally locked in samadhi of meditation on the form of Narayan in the heart, Chaturbhush Narayan, and chanting his mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And he doesn't have a Babaji Guru, he doesn't have Siddha Pranali Diksha, he's not practicing Raghunuga Bhakti. But he came to the level of Baba, then by the mercy of Vishnu he had a momentary darshan. And then he continued with his bhajan, and then when he left his body, at that time, at the very time he left his body, he became aware of, he saw and received his spiritual body, brought to him by Lord Narayan from Vaikuntha. And that is described in 1st canto, chapter 6, verse 28. So this is a very, very encouraging story for any devotees who are in some institution or they've been initiated in Bhakti Bhajan and they're following Vaidhi sadhana. This means, if you take Narada Muni's example, that if I'm very serious about my bhakti, possibly in two lives I can receive a spiritual body by Vaidhi sadhana. But that spiritual body that I receive by body sadhana after 2 years by the mercy of Vishnu or Krishna will only be suitable to serve Krishna in Vaikuntha or at best Dwarka. So you don't have to panic or get disturbed. Oh, I'm not practicing Raghunarga Bhakti. I'm only doing Vaidhi Bhakti. Only Vaidhi Bhakti? Vaidhi Bhakti, if it becomes Shuddha Bhakti, like Narada Muni did Shuddha Bhakti, he attained Siddhadeva, directly given by Krishna. So if the Guru reveals Siddhadeva long before that time of perfection, so now you have Siddhadeva, but you won't receive it, and you won't, because it's ultimately that Siddhadeva you're meditating on that has been given by Guru. If you have Siddha Pranali and you are practicing Raghunarga Bhakti, then Mandri Siddhadeva, you will not see it and it will not be directly rewarded to you until we die. Or you come to the level of bhava. At the level of bhava and prema, then Krishna may reveal the Siddhadeva. And for sure, if you come to the level of prema, you'll see your Siddhadeva. Krishna will give it to you because of your prema. So either way, the Siddhadeva will be given. So the story is very encouraging for both parties. Two lifetimes, Siddhadeva, either in Vaikuntha or Goloka Vrindavan. So the same thing I read in the other verse, the book is here. Shiva Goswami comments on verse 44 and 46. On seeing Ram, the sages' previous sentiments for Krishna became activated. In other words, these sages were rishis, they were Vaishnavas, they were worshipping Gopal. They were Vishnu Bhaktis, Krishna Bhaktis in the form of Gopal. Then when I saw Ramachandra passing through Dandakaranya forest, because Ramachandra, Gopal, Krishna, they look practically the same, except one's green and one's blue and one's a baby. Very beautiful, unbelievably attractive. They saw, this is our Gopal with a green color. That's why it says Gopal Upasaka. Gopal Upasaka Purvam Aprapti Siddhaye. Previously, before they became sadhana siddha and received gopi bodies, Gopal Upasaka Purvam Aprapti Abhishta Siddhi, before they attained perfection of their desire to be Gopal, lovers of Gopal, while they were doing upasana or worship of Gopal, before that they saw Ram. When they saw Ram, that an insight, seeing Ram became an udipan, an excitement, a stimulant, to stimulate their madhurati, the love in their heart for Gopal, their intense love for Gopal. So that's what Jiva Goswami says. When they saw Ram, they didn't desire Ram because they're in their heart of hearts, their abhishta siddhi, the perfection that they desire to attain, prapti abhishta siddhi, the perfection that they desire to attain in spiritual life, was not Ramachandra praying. Although they're having darshan of Ramachandra. Because already before, that Purvam, Gopala Basika Purvam, beforehand they're already meditating in Gopal and chanting Gopal mantra. So you get a mantra to chant in order to attain the Ishtadev indicated in the mantra. If you're a Narayan worshipper, then Guru will give you a mantra of Narayan to chant. And the perfection of that chanting of that Narayan mantra will give you darshan of Narayan, the Sangha of Narayan, and Siddhi and Vaikuntha, perfection in Vaikuntha. So these sages, they were chanting Gopal mantra and meditating on Gopal. Not chanting Ram mantra, meditating on Ram, but they saw Ram, who is Bhagavan, he's also Gopal. They became so excited. And then they really, their desire to be Gopal, lovers of Gopal, really expanded. So then they had a desire to enjoy, not with the beautiful form of Ram, but with Krishna. So they asked a benediction mentally in their minds. They expressed their minds, "Oh Ramachandra, you're so dashing, handsome, beautiful. You're also Bhagavan. But you know, we're so grateful and appreciative of having your darshan here in this faraway, lonely place of Dandakaranya. But we have an abhishta, prapti abhishta siddhiyo. What we desire is a perfection of being lovers of Gopal, Krishna, and Vrindavan. So knowing that, understanding their minds, because Bhagavan knows everything, he mentally said, okay, I bless you. Silently in his mind, he blessed them. So they all entered the wombs of coward women outside of Braj as females. It's a very interesting story. And other Puranas, there were ladies that take care of cows and men who take care of cows everywhere in the world. In Bengal, they're called Ghosh. The name Ghosh means cow people. And here they're called the Abira. Abiras, that means a group of humans that take care of cows. So everywhere there are farmers or cow people take care of cows. So these sages, they were not born in Braj itself, although they were born during Krishna's Leela. They were born in South India. This is what Jiva Goswami is saying based on some Puranas. And they were born as the daughters of coward men, also coward men, but not Brijvasis. And by Krishna's arrangement, in that country where they were living in South India and grew up as young coward girls, we can say gopis, because coward means gopa. They weren't Braja gopis, they were Dakshin Bharat gopis, means South Indian gopis. So there was a drought, there was no water for the whole year, and all the cows were dying of thirst. So the coward men, they said, let's move north. So they moved all their cows in migration, like nomads. As cowherd people, they move around like that, nomads, from pasture to pasture in old days, not any fixed farm or dairy farm or whatever. So they came all the way to Braj Mandal, and they settled in Braj Mandal. Actually, those coward men and their coward wives, and their wives were pregnant when they left South India. They were living in South India as coward men and ladies, and their wives became pregnant just before they moved out, the drought. So the wives, they moved, the husbands and wives from South India, they moved to Braj. And the daughters of these cowherds, who are the Municharis, they were born in Braj. So they were born in Braj from the wife of a cowherd, but not from the wife of a Braj cowherd. So this is very interesting. This is the Rishicharis that saw Ramchandra. They didn't have the Adhikar, they didn't have that Braj Bhav. That's why Rupa Goswami says we should come to Braj and do our bhajan, because we'll get attached to Radha and Krishna, and Radha and Krishna in Braj. So these sages were in Dakshin Bharat, South India, and Dandakaranya. They were Gopalupasakas, says in 44, Vajran Leelamani, Gopalupasaka Purvam Aprapti Abhishta Siddhaya. Purvam Aprapti, before they acquired their desired perfection, they were worshipping Gopal. And they saw Ram, that inspired, oh, Ram is almost like Gopal. We feel so excited about our Gopal. And mentally they said, oh, Ram, please bless us. We become lovers of Gopal and Vrindavan. So he said, Bhavatu. So then the Puranas tell, the Jiva Goswami's giving a summary here, and I was elaborating, basically the same point. They were born as the daughters of coward ladies, but coward ladies who lived in South India. And they're taking care of cows, and there was a drought there, no rain for the whole year. Cows were dying of thirst. Their fathers, the gopas, the coward men, they drove their cows northward, and they came to Braj. But before they came to Braj, they impregnated their wives, so their wives were pregnant on their way. So it took a few months to get here, and when they arrived here from South India, their coward wives gave birth to gopis. And these were the Rishichari gopis from Dandakaranya. So yes, they were born in Vrindavan. Yes, they were born from the wife of a gopi. And that's what every sadhaka has to experience. But hopefully when we take birth from a womb of a gopi, it will be a gopi from Vrindavan. And some lines of Raghunatha Bhakti and some of the lines of Gaudiya's, the guru will even tell you the name of your mother and father, tell you the name of your Sridaya, the name of your husband, the name of your mother and father, of course your own name. So then that will be, that Braj Gopa and that Braj Gopi will be your future mother and father in Vrindavan when you take birth in the Boma Vrindavan Leela of Krishna, the Prakat visible Leela. in some other universe and some other time when we become Siddhi, attained Siddhi. So the that's those gopis. And this story, actually, when I said it's from Puranas, Vishnu says that Jiva Goswami is quoting a story from Padma Puran. So this is kind of an interesting point, because sometimes devotees, they come from outside Vrindavan, and their wife is pregnant outside of Vrindavan. Then they come to Vrindavan and give birth to a child. So now, is that child a Brijbasi or a German? Or a Brijbasi or a Russian? So here, these parents are South Indian, but when they moved here to Braj, then they got a birth certificate from Mathura. So these gopis were certified Brijbasis. So as it was thousands of years ago, it's happening still today. Devotees are like gopas and gopis, and they have their children, and they may conceive outside of Braj, and then they come to Braj to give birth to their baby gopis and baby gopas. Very nice point. So tomorrow, second of the last 4 days, we'll begin 48. Sri Ujjala Nila Mani Ki. So this is an addendum to Ujjala Nila Mani. They're talking about getting gopi. The whole subject of Ujjala Nila Mani was about taking birth from the womb of gopi, and the Rishicharyas got siddhadeyas. So it's on topic. We're talking about sadhana para yotika gopis. Parakya gopis from chapter 3. That's what we're discussing, Ujjala Nila Mani. So I was just giving a summary. So then the Kajendra was an elephant, but when he was a king, every morning he would recite about 29 prayers to Vishnu. So when he became an elephant and he was about to be killed by the crocodile in a lake, he was helpless and he just cried out. He remembered Vishnu, and Vishnu gave him memory. Krishna gives memory of forgetfulness. It tells in Gita. Sarvasya chaham vrilisan vishto matasmatir gyanam apavanam cha. Veda ishcha savaraham eva vidyo vendanta krid veda veda eva chaham. Krishna is telling in the Gita that from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. I have compiled all the Vedas, I know the Vedas, and I am to be known by the Vedas. Vedanta krid veda veda eva chaham. So he gave this elephant, Gajendra, memory. So in that distress of dying, he remembered his previous birth, he remembered those stutis. Now an elephant's body, that jivatma, who was formerly a heavenly king, Indraduna, started reciting beautiful, perfectly composed Sanskrit shlokas glorifying Narayan. This is amazing. So he offered those shlokas, and in those prayers in chapter 3 of 8th canto, then Gajendra is praying, "Oh my Lord, my life is about to come to an end. Please give me my siddhadeya." It's right inside the prayers of Gajendra. He's aware, because as a king he was a Vaishnava in his last life. He knew that the perfection of Vaishnavism is to get a spiritual body. Salokya Mukti, Sarupya Mukti, etc. So now as an elephant he's reciting his prayers, "Oh Vishnu, I'm about to die. Please give me my siddhadeya." Then when Vishnu heard those prayers and immediately came down and threw his chakra and killed the alligator, and then simultaneously killed the alligator and returned the heavenly Gandharva body to that Gandharva and was cursed. And at the same time he gave a heavenly celestial material body to the alligator, and to the elephant king, great devotee Indradumna, he gave a siddhadeya. So in the 8th canto it says that Vishnu brought the siddhadeya from the spiritual world and gave it to him. So that's 4 in the Bhagavatam, about jivas doing sadhana or chanting prayers, or doing different types of sadhana, chanting mantras, chanting prayers, perfection by sadhana and doing chanting a mantra, and meditation on Narayan, like Narada Muni, or doing intent. Attaining siddhi or perfection by doing intense austerities and doing mantra jap, like Dhruva Maharaj, and then a jamil just by siddhi or perfection by nam, Hari Nam, and then Gajendra, perfection by vandanam, Vandana means offering stutis or prayers. So all four of these devotees attain Siddhadeya. And the fifth, there's five and six example is, the fifth example was those gopis in the rasa dance that were prohibited from Krishna, from their husbands from going out to Krishna. It says that they were burning in such anxiety. Oh, why every gopi's going out to dance? Why can't I go out? Because there's still the intensity of their love was not quite high enough to be suitable for Krishna. They had to burn up some of the impurities in their love, make it more pure. Like gold, the more you molt gold, you melt the gold, then you scoop off all the things that float on the surface, the contaminants and dirt and things inside the gold rocks, nuggets, by boiling it, melting it. Then it gets hard, then you melt it again. You melt it one time, it's 4 carats, and 2 times it's 8 carats, and 3 times it's 16 carats, and 4 times it's 18 carats, and 5 times it's 24 carats. This is different types of gold, different types of purity, different types of value. 24 carat gold is more costly than 8 carat gold. So this is the situation with getting Siddhadeya. So it's great hope in all sides. By nam, by prayers, by tapasya, by bhajan. And everywhere, in every case, it's given by Krishna. Either directly through the guru or at the time of death. And that's five examples. Now the sixth example is Putana. Putana came to kill Krishna in the sixth chapter of the tenth canto. And she came to kill him, but she came as disguised as a mother, offering her milk-filled breast for Krishna to suckle on, baby Gopal. So he took the milk, that was nice, but he didn't take the poison. As Chanaka Pandit says, you should take gold even from a filthy place. Take gold, even if you see gold is lying in a stool field or there's some dog stool and there's a big gold piece of gold sitting on top of it. Take the gold and wash off the gold and wash your hands, take a bath and make a lot of money when you sell the gold. So taking gold from a filthy place. So Putana came, she's very filthy, she covered all around her breast. She had the halahuta poison to murder 1,000 men. So concentrated, so much of it. And Krishna said, "Oh no, thanks. I'm not in the mood to eat poison today. But I will take the milk inside your breast, not the poison outside." So that's Krishna's general bhaktavatsalya nature. Krishna's bhaktavatsalya is very affectionate to the devotees. So he doesn't take the poison outside. Outside means the outside covering of the Atma. The outside covering of the Atma is the mind. And the mind is full of poison. Very black and virulent, dangerous poison. And the poison that resides in the mind is lust and anger and greed and envy. So these, Krishna bypasses that. He says, "No thanks, I'm not interested." And he goes to the core. He doesn't take the poison, he takes the milk. So deeper than the mind is the heart of the devotee. The heart of the devotee is his sincere desire to love Krishna and serve him. So Krishna disregards the poison of the mind and he gets to the essence of the core of the devotee, which is his or her sincerity to serve and love Krishna. So we're all a little bit like Putana. So Krishna doesn't take the poison. We're also offering lots of poison to Krishna. We're coming to offer the milk of our hearts. Milk is pure and white and clean and nourishing and tasty. So love, immaculate love or spiritual love is pure and clean and tasty and pavitram. So that's in the heart of every true, sincere seeker of God in the bhakti line. But there may be some covering, some mental covering of that milk with lots of poison. So we see in the case of Putana that Krishna disregarded the poison on the outside of her breast and he took the milk from the inside, which represents the milk of our hearts. And we're not coming to kill Krishna, we're not coming to poison him, we're coming to serve him in our own feeble, broken ways. So how much more merciful? So then it says, at the time, Sridhar Swami gives his tikka and also Jiva repeats it in Vishnu. She came as a murderess, as a rakshasi, Putana. But when Krishna, he took the milk, accepted that good thing, ignored the poison, and he killed her just by his, by sucking so hard that she suffocated, lost her breath, and died. But at the same time that Krishna killed her, he simultaneously gave her Braja Krishna Prem and awarded her a Siddhadeya. She got a Siddhadeya as Krishna's mother. She became a Braj Gopi Datri, a wet nurse of Krishna that could assist Radharani in the Gokul Leela. And she could offer her breasts eternally with beautiful sweet milk for the pleasure of Gopal and Gokul. This is the fifth example of Krishna giving Siddhadeya from a child to a, from a small child to a young boy to an elephant to a fallen Brahmin to an imperfect gopi that didn't have perfect brain, and then finally to the Putana, demon. Even the demon got Braja Prem. So there's certainly some hope for us. Where do we fit? Are we the child? No. Are we the young boy? No. Are we witches? Maybe. Or vampires or whatever. Are we animals? Yeah, half animal. Dui Padapashu. Prabhupada used to say the human beings of Kali Yuga are two. Dui Padapashu. Pashu means animal, beast. Usually animals or beasts have four legs or whatever. But Dvipada Pashu means an animal with two legs. And the animal with two legs is us. So this is a little extra Ujjvala Mani expansion of the, how these Dandakaranya sages also received a Siddhadeya.